3. This is Chwe Inge Shachlach from the Ntlakem territories up in the Nicola Valley from Gwaishkina, BC. And I'm your host here on Free Voices, brought to you by Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. And we have a special, super awesome show coming up for you guys. In the house, we have with us our production manager of Eagle Nation Universal Production Society, Lady Faima. Welcome to the program and thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. My greetings to all the respected listeners across the country and outside of the country.
And also, we have our host of Call Me Negotiator, Charlotte from China. Thank you for coming.
Hello, nice to meeting you guys today again.
Yes, and welcome all our brothers and sisters from China for joining us live. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. And later on, we're going to have our brother Wegdesk from the East Coast. And also, he's a high diving champion of the world. And also, we have a special guest coming with us, Sagaj, my brother from another mother across the East Coast, from the Mi'kmaq people also. And also, I also have my brother, Shkwait Shachlach from Gwaishkina, BC. And he'll be joining us too later on. And we have some special music from Wet Cactus out of Spain. We have some Cadaver, and they're from Germany. And we also have some Eddie Grant, and he's originally from Guyana, down South America. And also some music from Baha'u'llah. And also, if we have enough time, some Dudes of Hazmat. So stay tuned for all that coming up. And we welcome all our listeners from all over the world, from England, from Germany, from Spain, from France, from Switzerland, from Norway, from Egypt, from Africa, from India, from Russia, from Ukraine, from China, from Japan, from Philippines, from New Zealand, from Australia, from South America, from North America, all across the United States and all across Canada. Welcome to our odyssey of positivity, human growth, and empowerment for human rights and justice, and just making this world a better, special place in the universe the way it should be. And thank you so much for joining. And we're going to start off our program with some energetic music from Wet Cactus, and their song is called Jim's Song. And this is a special dedication to my brother up in Gwaishkina. It's his birthday on May 24th.
So, wonderful. Wow.
Yeah. Happy birthday, brother.
Happy birthday.
And that's my brother, Nakoya. So here it is. Enjoy, everybody. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
awesome, man. That was Wet Cactus and a band from Spain, and that was dedicated to my brother Nakoya out of Koishkana, BC. It's his birthday, and just big happy birthday to him. And
happy
on the
birthday.
Line, yes, on the line with us, we have our brother Wegdesk, the high diving champion of the world, and we'd like to get this show started right, and we'd like to ask him, please and thank you to lead us through some deep breaths, and welcome to the program. Thanks for joining.
Of course, Chief. It's always my pleasure to be on with you guys, Eagle Nation, everybody listening around the world, up on that beautiful mountain up there. Hope you guys are feeling the love. This summertime weather's got deep breaths a little easier for everybody. But let's do these three deep breaths together, and we'll get ready for them by relaxing our belly, relaxing our shoulder, our jaw. Just relax a little bit. And as we breathe in through the nose, let's take in the love of life. And as we exhale, let's let all the stress go. All right, three of them, all the way in through the nose. In 3, 2, 1, let's go. Awesome, and one more.
Wow.
So good, guys. It always centers me and just gets me feeling better.
Oh, man, yes. It's so appreciated. It's always wonderful to get that oxygen into our lungs, into our bloodstreams, up to our brains, and getting us all fired up and ready for our subject. And today our subject is going to be on acceptance. And we'd love to hear your words on acceptance.
Absolutely, Chief. That's a really great word. And what I've got to say about acceptance is directly related to this very mysterious part of existence that we hold as humans, which is right on the edge of the past and the future. It's right now. And I want to encourage everybody to understand that every single thing that's happened in the past, we must accept, even the most atrocious things ever. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that it's good for the future. We definitely have the future to change and improve. Mm-hmm. But if we look at the past and we say it shouldn't be like that, or that was wrong, then we're kind of pointing the finger out at this universe that's managing so many things. And as they say in some religions, God is trying to get everybody, every single person, the billions of us, to perfection. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge thing to manage, and to point the finger out and say that shouldn't be like that puts us in a world where this universe, this world, is not as divine as it is. And so I want to encourage everybody to really consider this idea that everything in the past is to be accepted and loved as and appreciated as part of the plan. And on that same note, also, do not accept those bad things in the past for our future. So that's all I want to say about that, Chief. And I hope that's a help to you and your listeners. I'm in a very important meeting right now. I'm sorting out the details of an amazing feature film that I'm going to be working on.
Wonderful.
So I got to get back to this meeting, but I love you guys all so much.
We love you too.
And as always, guys, keep the deep breaths going, and I look forward to tuning in with you next week.
Beautiful. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us, and good luck in your movie, and lots of love to you, and bye for now.
Blessing to
bye
you.
Bye for now.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was our brother Wegdesk from Mi'kmaq people, and always wonderful to get his words and input on our subject, which is on acceptance today. And for me, I've been just realizing that, you know, my life started changing once I gained that ability to accept. Just like he was saying in the past, you know, we do and have done negative things in our lives, and myself was so full of negative energy and just a lot of negative negative energy throughout my life and history. And once I realized and learned that, I was able to start to try to transform and lean more towards positivity and growth and human rights and justice and things that make a difference in the world, not only for the world, but my own personal life. And I'm still adjusting and making those positive things grow in my life. It's definitely a work in progress, but you know, it takes effort, and that's what I'm doing, is I'm giving a lot of strength and effort towards the changes that you know, I would like to see, and hopefully help out mankind and humanity, and also myself and people around me. So you know, that's what I got to give on acceptance. And we're going to continue on with our program here. And coming up next, we're going to be speaking with Sagaj. He's my brother from another mother on the East Coast. And he's a veteran of both armies, the United States Army and Canada. So, but we have a song specially for him, and this is from Cadaver out of Germany, and their song is called Black Sun. And let's have a listen. Enjoy, everybody. We'll be right back. man, that was a good one. That was from Cadaver out of Germany and their song Black Sun. And we have on the line with us my brother Sagaj from the Mi'kmaq people out of the East Coast. And he's a veteran of United States Army and the Canadian Army. He's got a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science and Indigenous Governance. And he's a big hero to me and many other people across North America and probably all over the world, too, at this point. And he's got some words for us. And last time we had our discussion, we were talking about culture, I believe. And what do we have today?
Hey, thanks for having me again. In our previous talks, we've always kind of spoke a little bit around identity and culture and how it connects to the land. So today, we're going to get right into the idea of land-based culture. All right, so let's start with the definition. Land-based culture, it has a worldview which consists of an interwoven system that has natural laws, ethics, principles, beliefs, knowledge, practices, ceremonies, and a language that's specific to the land. It makes up a completely integrated way of life. That culture itself that we're talking about is built around proper relationships with the territory. And that's really key to this idea of proper relationships with the territory. So simply put, land-based culture is indigenous culture. It's just another way of saying it, right? So let's unpack that definition that I just gave you. And let's start with the idea, this term of worldview. A worldview is a comprehensive filter, or you could call it a lens that we look at our reality through. It becomes the way that we make sense of the world. And land-based culture has a worldview that is strongly founded on animism. And animism is the belief that all things, I'm talking all, so like animals, birds, insects, fish, trees, plants, the mountains, the rivers, the ocean, the air, the wind, all of it has spirit and it has a form of consciousness. In land-based culture, it's all about interacting and relating with those non-human beings. So the land-based culture worldview acts as this skeleton, like the framework for the rest of like indigenous spiritualism, knowledge system, ethics, and our ways of being. They're all built upon that framework. It incorporates the way we think, the way we believe, the way we speak, the way we act. So it's really core to a lot about us, right? The second point of that definition that I want to look at is the phrase proper relationships, because this is really important. The word proper is critical. And that really helped me explain this. I want to use Dr. Glenn Cuthard's description of that. And he explains proper relationships as non-exploitive and mutually beneficial. So it's not a one-way thing. Both parties, both beings are benefiting from this relationship. These relationships extend to all life around us. So it's not just about humans. And at the very core of indigenous culture, this land-based culture, is the idea that it's really a culture of proper relationships. So relationships with humans, relationships with neighbors and relatives, and relationships with non-humans. The third part of the land-based culture definition that I want to address is the term territory. When an indigenous person says territory, they don't just mean like the physical geography or the terrain of that land. Territory means all the life on that land. So again, like all the animals, the plants, the water, the ground, the air, all the life that exists within that defined area. Now, I'm going to use the word lands and territories interchangeably for the rest of this talk. But really, I want to come back to this idea that land-based culture is all about just proper relationships with all non-human beings, which is just as, or maybe even more, important than relationships with humans. So land-based culture is about learning, knowing, and respecting the natural order. Now, that's the system that nature has created. And it's all about aligning our lives into those natural cycles, the seasons, and the patterns of the life of that territory. So it's really, we got to keep in mind, it's very place-based, it's place-specific, right? Land-based culture is nature-centric, not human-centric. So we put nature at the center, and we try to find how we fit in, not how we make nature conform to us. Hmm. It's about learning how to live with the land, not live on the land. And we hear the term a lot, live on the land, which is really like a one-way relationship. It's what you take from the land. It's not about conquering nature, but learn how to be cooperate with nature, nature, and how to revere it. So I hope that kind of clarifies the definition, because I want to get in some other points, particularly like what's the connection between land and culture. Now, I'm going to use I guess it was a study, or because right now it's just a hypothesis, and it's called the Rice Hypothesis. And it says in societies or cultures that wet rice farm, so I think like rice fields that are a little bit underwater, right? Those produce collective societies because it requires intensive labor. You got to build canals and these interlocking irrigation systems. You synchronize planting together. You have a shared infrastructure. So if one of your neighbors fails in their rice fields, you all will suffer because they're connected to yours. So that creates these really strong social norms, strong social monitoring and social obligation. Now, compared to wheat farming, well, it produces individualistic societies, because they don't need this really like interconnected canals and irrigation system for their growing. It depends on rain. So you have these very independent farms. It creates autonomy, self-reliance, and it has driven by individualistic norms. So this Rice Hypothesis suggests that culture is structural, meaning it emerges from external conditions. And from the indigenous point of view, we would totally agree with this, because for us, our culture arises from our relationship with the land. It's just perhaps a little bit deeper in a sense. Right? Mm-hmm. So we look at that Rice Hypothesis, and we know it captures a portion of how land shapes culture. We could look to our own fellow like indigenous nations, and we could see how their territory, specifically their area, shaped their culture. So I'm going to go through a few. And I look to my people on the East Coast, the Mi'kmaq Nation, and we have a territory that has, you know, lots of forest, hills, so not like the mountains of the West Coast. Some places we have very big hills or very small mountains, but really, you know, rolling mountains, valleys, lots of coastline. So our way of life is based on the available foods for each season. In the summer, my people will move to the coastline, where we do lots of fishing. Get a lot of bounty from the ocean. In the winter, though, there's a lot of really cold winds coming off the ocean, so we move inland, and we switch from fishing to hunting and trapping. So our homes are like semi-permanent lodges. We move with the seasons. Now, if you look at the Haudenosaunee, who's like west of the Mi'kmaq Nation, they have far less coastline, right? But they have more fertile land. So they have a really like huge connection with corn, squash, beans, as well as, you know, they hunt to provide their proteins. And, you know, I imagine there's like inland fishing going on too. But more importantly, they are more agriculturalist than the Mi'kmaq. And that means they're more tied to specific locations. So you'll see it reflected in their homes. They have very